you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Psalms. I encourage you to look at God's Word in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, I'll begin reading with the first verse and read through verse 13. How many of you have ever heard the expression, "His day is coming"? Any of you ever heard that? Amen. "His day is coming." What does that usually mean? His day is coming. He's going to get his judgment, okay? His day is coming. I'm amazed sometimes when I'm reading the Word of God and I come across expressions like that that I've heard all my life, and yet I didn't know that they were actually taken from the Word of God. And I think that what usually happens is that God blesses somebody to preach on that expression like "His day is coming." And God blesses a man to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit. It makes an impression on God's people. And then they begin to use that expression and it begins to spread. And then people don't really know that it came from the Word of God. But that's going to be one of the expressions found in this passage of Scripture, is "His day is coming." Looking at Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." Before we study from God's holy word this morning, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one true and living God. Lord, we thank you for giving us thy holy word. We're thankful that we were raised by Christian parents that loved you and loved your word. And we thank you that you've preserved thy word unto this very day, so that everybody in this building, that we can all read and study the word of God, that we can rejoice in the teachings of thy word. And we pray that you would help us to feed on the word of God. For we know that if our souls are healthy from feeding on the word of God, then our souls will rejoice in the Lord every day. And yet if we're not feeding on the word, and we're not studying the word, and we're not walking in the light as you are in the light, then we'll find ourselves cast down, discouraged, and despondent. So help us, Lord, every day of our lives. Help us to stay close to thee. Help us to think about the words that you've given us to us in your word, in your holy word this morning. Pray that thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray, Lord, that during this coming week that we would work diligently to be fruitful in our service to thee. We do thank you, Lord, for every person that's here this morning. Pray thy blessings upon each of them individually and upon their families. We pray also that you would bless those who are sick and afflicted. There are many that are mentioned in the bulletin. We pray that you would bless each of them. Lord, we know that you're able to touch and heal and lift up. And we thank you that many of those on the prayer list are doing so much better, and we pray that you would continue to bless them and be with them and help us to bear one another's burdens and to pray one for another and do everything we can to help one another. We beg thy blessings on those who are traveling. We pray that you would watch over and protect them and give them a safe journey. We thank you for blessing Sister Pat on her travels and others that have been traveling to have a good, safe trip. Pray now that you would help us as we begin this week, that you would help us to walk as children of light, and that you would help us to follow the teachings of thy holy word, and that you would help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Psalm 37, I want us to think about an expression. First, it's used in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Come down to verse 8. 7, I mean. In verse 7 it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Then verse 8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." There are three times in this 37th Psalm, there are three times that God tells his people, fret not, fret not. Now, the word fret means it has several different meanings, but primarily the word fret means to be incensed and very angry. Sometimes it means that a person panics because he is so angry about something. And the first verse tells us that sometimes God's people fret, that is, they are angry because they see that sometimes evildoers are prospering and are not being judged. Have any of you ever fretted because you see people that are living ungodly and they're prospering? And that's what he says here. And listen, brethren, you might not think right now that you've ever done that, but it is a common problem that God's people have, else God would not have three times in this psalm, as well as other places in the Bible, God would not have exhorted his people, don't fret, don't be upset. Don't look at people around you that are living ungodly and think that they're going to actually enjoy life more than you do. The Word of God tells us about Moses, that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to, what's the next word? Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, one of the most important things from that verse of Scripture that we all need to remember is that you can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want you to know that the flesh that you have will always enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But God will not allow any of his children to walk in sin without experiencing the judgments of God. Fret not thyself. Don't worry about evildoers. And evildoers here can represent children of God that are walking contrary to God's word, or they can represent those that are not children of God who will be judged when this world is over. God's children, when they are evildoers, God's children will eventually be judged here in this world. God judges his people according to their work. So, what's the last words that I read to you this morning? The last four words that I read to you this morning? His day is coming. You need to remember that. But it doesn't matter who you're looking at, doesn't matter who you might consider, doesn't matter who the devil might cause you to think about. I want you to always remember that when evildoers continue in their evil ways, His day is coming. God is going to judge every person in this world. Those that are not children of God will be judged at the end of the time world, and those who are God's children, God is judging them according to their works while they live. Evildoers will be judged by God. His day, my day, and your day, and His day is coming. I want you to notice in Psalm 73, go forward in your Bibles to the 73rd Psalm. And there's a big difference in what David says in Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, David is continuing to say, don't fret yourself. I think that one of the things that causes discontent in the minds and the hearts of God's people so much is they look round about them and they see people prospering and they see people that are seemingly getting along fine, and the people of God are often suffering. In Psalm 73, Asaph had great trouble with that reality. Is it a reality that the wicked can and do prosper in this world? You can have two businessmen, and one of them is a thief and an evildoer, and the other one is a Christian. You can have two people bidding on jobs, and one of them is going to undermine and undercut and use inferior products, and the other one is going to use the best and do the best that he can, and the one that undercuts the other one and bids the lowest, he's doing that because of evil that he's doing in his life. And sometimes when people are honest and are just and are right and are good, sometimes when they see the evildoers prospering, it causes them to fret. They get upset. They panic. They sometimes become angry, and without realizing it, they even get angry at God. In Psalm 73, Asaph talks about that, what he went through in his life. Asaph was troubled. He fretted because evildoers were prospering. The wicked is what he calls them. In Psalm 73, beginning with verse 1, Psalm 73, just listen to the first three verses. Asaph says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now I want you to remember that at the time he wrote this, he's already experienced everything he's going to write about. Does everybody follow that? This isn't happening. In other words, the frustration that he writes about, this frustration doesn't come after he starts writing, but rather it's something that he has experienced, and now he's sitting down and he says, you know, I remember when I fretted because of evildoers. I remember a time in my life that I used to always envy the wicked. I remember a time in my life that I almost wished that I wasn't a child of God, because I look around and I see those that are not acting like God would have them to act. They're prospering in the world. He fretted himself because of what? Evildoers. Or, as he uses the expression, wicked, and they're one and the same. In Psalm 73, he says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Is his mind right? Is he thinking clearly? And does he express truth in the first verse? Yes, he does. And then in verse 2 he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious. I was, see, looking back in my life, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You see what he's saying? I look back at one time in my life. In fact, I would imagine that in Asaph's life, as in my life, and in your life, that there are many times that we look round about us and we conclude that the wicked are the ones who are prospering in the world, that the evildoers, and you know what happens when we think that? We start to do one little four-letter word. We start to fret. And God says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Look at Psalm 73 now. After he says, I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, come down to verse 12. Psalm 73 and verse 12. He says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, is he expressing truth? But is he expressing frustration here? Yes. He says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, here's what he's thinking now. This is the way he was. He says, verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Have you ever been chastened by God? Have you ever been chastened by God? Have you ever been disciplined by God? Have you ever felt the judgments of God in your life? I have many times. And did you know the Bible says this? That whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. If you've ever been chastened, that's an unmistakable evidence that you're a born-again child of God. It's an unmistakable evidence that God does love you. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And Asaph says, I have been chastened every morning and every evening. I have been chastened repeatedly. Then he says in verse 15, look at Psalm 73 and verse 15. He says, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. What's he saying there in verse 15? He's expressed the innermost feelings of his heart in 12 through 14. But what's he saying in verse 15? He says, I'm telling you what I've been thinking, but I would not say it out loud. Because if I were to tell other people that it's the wicked who prosper in the world, I would offend all the little children of God. And they would begin to think it's better to not serve God than it is to serve God. Then in verse 16 he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And then he says in the last part of verse 17, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I what? Their end. Very good. Then understood I their end. When did he understand the end of the wicked? He understood it when he went into the house of God. Why, when he went into the house of God, did he understand the end of the wicked? Because when he went into the house of God, he began to hear the word of God and the truth of God, that God does judge his people and evildoers and the wicked, whether they be children of God or not. His day is coming. His day is coming. Now you can just mark that down, brethren, and you need to mark it down. You need to write it down. You need to remember that every time you begin to envy the wicked, you need to remember every time that you're jealous of those that are living ungodly, every time you think the wicked are the ones who are prospering in the world, you need to remember his day is coming. And if you follow that route and you go the broad way, your day is coming. And if you walk the right way, your day is coming. You see that both are true, but they mean opposite things. When you follow God, when you follow God and you serve God and you're faithful to God, your day is coming. And when you don't follow God and you don't serve God and you're not faithful to God, your day is coming. But there are major differences in the day of the righteous and the day of the wicked. There's a difference in the day that Christ comes. When Christ came and judged the Jewish nation, there were those that had followed God and served God and been faithful to God and walked with God. Did their day come? Their day came. What kind of days had they experienced prior to the coming of the Lord? They had experienced persecution. They had experienced trials and tribulations and heartache. But their day came when God came and poured His blessings out upon them because of their faithfulness to Him. And there were others who had earlier prospered in their lives, much like the rich man and Lazarus. You remember in Luke, the Word of God tells us about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man prospered and he fared well and he had all kinds of blessings. And the poor man just lived outside, the beggar lived outside the rich man's house. Do you remember how he suffered? But his day came as well as the day of the rich man came. Turn with me to Proverbs. Go forward in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter Proverbs chapter 23. What will it do to you personally? How will it affect your life if you really believe what God's Word says, that His day is coming? If you really believe what God's Word says, that you should not fret yourself because of evildoers, if you really believe that their day will be cut off, if you really believe that God does bless those who serve Him and curse those who reject Him and rebel against Him, if you really believe that, it will have a profound effect on the way you live every day. The way you live is determined by what you believe about what I just said. If you don't really believe, and there are many children of God that are unbelievers, but if you don't really believe that God's going to judge those that walk contrary to God's Word, you'll have no fear of God, and you'll not be concerned about your day coming. You'll just have the idea, as many children of God do, I'm saved, and one day I'm going, what? One day I'm going home to heaven. But they don't realize that before they die and go to heaven, they don't realize there are many times that God's people experience severe judgment and they live in hell while they live here on this earth because they have chosen the broad way rather than the narrow way. And when the day came, the day of judgment came in their lives, God cut them off and they withered like the leaf. They withered like the grass. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17. Envy. You ever envy the wicked? Did you know that most of us envy people that are rich? Just think for a minute. Anything that you would like to have. Think of something you would really like to have. Brother Richard, tell me something you'd really like to have. Materially. Anybody, tell me something you'd really like to have. Brother David, give me an example.
A new four-door truck.
All right. Like a Hummer? Would you like a Hummer? Okay, a new four-door.
Nissan.
Okay, see, he's got his mind on it now. He's focusing real good. Now, if I were to drive up here in a new four-door Nissan truck next Sunday, how would you feel? Now, just be real. The way I'm talking about, I'm not talking about how you're supposed to feel. You tell me how you're going to feel deep down inside.
Jealous.
Envy. Big time. Why in the world can the preacher buy a four-door Nissan and I can't have a four-door Nissan? Listen, you can deny that you ever feel that way all you want to, but in one degree or another, all of us envy other people and other things sometimes. We sometimes envy things that other people have. We envy their position. We envy their money. We envy their glory. We envy their homes. We envy their clothes. We envy other things. And God says it's wrong to be doing that. Godliness, and I think maybe that's what we'll study tonight, is that godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you know it's hard to be content? We've got this old flesh, and it just struggles and fights. And wants to go back. We're like the children of Israel after God delivered them. They cried and cried to God to deliver them out of Egyptian bondage. And after they got out of Egyptian bondage and they were in the wilderness, out there in the wilderness, they said, oh, I wish we were back down there in Egypt. And sometimes God's children, after they've been born of the Spirit of God and they've tasted of the good Word of God and they've had all kinds of spiritual blessings, sometimes when they begin to err away from God and the devil moves in their mind and they think, oh, you know, look out there. Look at all those people that are having a good time and here I sit doing nothing fun. Now, have you ever felt that way? Look at all, just think about all those people that are out there. They're just living it up. Oh, I wish I could go back and do all that I used to do. Oh, remember, your day is coming. And if you go back, can you go back? Can you go back?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. You can turn back. You can fall back. You can go back. And when you do, just remember this. that your day is coming. Your day is coming. And it sometimes will come much quicker than you think. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself because of the rich. Don't envy them. Don't envy those that have more. Even if you lose a lot of things that you have, don't envy them when you don't have them anymore. I guess the one thing I wish I had more than anything else is good health. I'm talking about where I could get out and work, and I wish I could get out and walk. I wish I could run. I wish I could pick things up that I can't pick up. Teresa picked up something yesterday that I couldn't pick up. She picked it up. Now, that's pretty humiliating, isn't it? When your wife, and I said, here, I'll get it. Well, I got it. And my defibrillator just about went off. And I had to put it down real quick and sit down on the bed. And I was scared because I could feel that defibrillator fixing the fire. I can't do a lot of the things that I used to do. I wish I could. But I'm telling you, it's wrong for me to envy those that have good health. Yeah. I'm thankful when I'm thinking right. When I'm thinking right, I'm thankful for the health I have. When I'm thinking right, I even wrote someone this past week and I said, God had a purpose in me not being as healthy today as I used to be. And I am thankful for what health I have. You see, we go on these roller coasters and some days we're just so thankful. Even if what we have is very minor compared to what we used to have, we can be so thankful when we're thinking correctly. But sometimes our minds, Satan comes along and puts thoughts in our minds and we become unsatisfied. We're not content anymore. And when you're not content, you're going to be fretting yourself because of evildoers. And when you're not content, you're not pleasing God. Godliness with contentment. Count your blessings. Count your many, many blessings.
Tell Satan to get behind.
Amen. Y'all think this sister knows God? She said, tell Satan to get behind you.
I know she
Y'all think she knows the Lord? I think she might. And you know all these people. I wish that I had a video camera behind me that I could just... I'd like for all of you to see the faces of these dear children of God down here on the front row, down here from the nursing home in their wheelchairs. I wish that you could just watch them. They're like little mockingbirds. You've seen little baby mockingbirds that the mama would light on the nest? And what do those little baby mockingbirds do?
Open their mouth and wait for the
worm. That's right. They open their mouth and just wait for the worm, wait for the food. Listen, brethren, that's what it looks like down here. These dear saints of God who love the Word of God, they love God, they love the house of God, they put forth a tremendous effort to come to the house of God. It is absolutely amazing that they can be content, isn't it? And they're probably more content. They are probably more content than most of us in this building. They're satisfied. They're not fretting because of the evildoers. And the reason is because they have matured so much spiritually. They have learned that it's true, His day is coming. They have learned that it's true that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Amen.
They have learned that fellowship with God means more than all the riches of this world. They have learned the joy of being in the kingdom of heaven is greater than any joy the devil could ever give you in a lifetime. One day, my daddy used to say, I wouldn't trade one day in the kingdom of heaven for all years in the world. Do you know what I mean? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17. The Word of God says in Proverbs 23 verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners. Let not thine heart envy sinners. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Come to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Sometimes I want to be with people that are evil. Do you understand what I mean? I've got some old friends that I'd like to just go be with. Now, it's not that I want to do what they want to do, what I want to do. I just want to be with them. But did you know that when I go, if I were to go, and if I were to be with them in the midst of their ungodliness, I would be as uncomfortable as a fish out of water. I would not enjoy it, but the devil sometimes makes me think I would be so happy to be able to be back there with them. But the joy is not there anymore. The songwriter says, what things were gained to me, I count but dross. The Apostle Paul said all those wonderful things he had accomplished. He said, I count them all but dung that I might win Christ. Do you know the joy of being with Christ? Amen. You know how wonderful it is? Are you counting your blessings? Are you thinking about what you have? Are you thinking about how good God is to you now? Or are you envying and fretting? Look at Proverbs. I'm still in Proverbs 24. Come down to verses 19 and 20. By the way, who wrote most of the Psalms? Who wrote most of the Psalms?
David
did. Now, who wrote most of the Proverbs? Solomon, David's son. Now, I want you to think about this. I think about it quite often. I don't think I've ever said it from the pulpit. But you know, David had a profound effect on his son, didn't he? He had a profound effect on his son. And I know that Solomon messed up. I know he went the wrong way. But I'm telling you, there are so many things that Solomon says in the book of Psalms that he learned from his daddy. There are so many things that Solomon says in the book of Proverbs. Thank you. There are so many things that Solomon wrote down in the book of Proverbs that you go back and you'll find his daddy taught him that. Did you know, Brother David, that your children, you had a profound effect on their lives? Everybody in this room, Sister Cindy, you've had a profound effect on every child that you've raised. Every one of us in this building, you have had a profound effect on your... Those of you that are old enough to have grandchildren, you've had a profound effect on their lives. And Solomon, when he wrote, that 37th Psalm, who wrote Psalm 37? Who wrote that? David did. Now I want you to listen to what Solomon, his son, writes down in Proverbs 24. Brethren, I can never thank God enough for the mom and daddy that he gave to me. I have been taught, I have been instructed, I've been shown how to live. I am totally without excuse, not just because God's given me his word, but God has given me, I think, the two best Christian parents that I could have ever had in my entire life. They were perfect for me. Do you understand what I mean by that? My mom and daddy weren't perfect, but they were perfect for me. I had exactly the daddy that I needed. I had exactly the mama that I needed. And Solomon had exactly the daddy that he needed. And watch now, Psalm 24, verses 19 and 20. He says, Fret not thyself because of evil men. Where in the world do you think Solomon got those words? Fret not thyself because of evil men. Where do you think he got that from?
Daddy.
From his daddy. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Now, Solomon writing this down, do you think Solomon remembered this? See, at this point in Solomon's life, does he remember this? But do you know what eventually happened to Solomon? He began to fret himself because of evildoers. He began to desire the things the wicked people had. And when he went after them, you know what the last four words that we read from the scripture in Psalm 37? His day is coming. You know what Solomon forgot? He forgot that his day was coming. And he went out after all those wicked things of the world. And brethren, Solomon's life was a miserable failure. In spite of all that he was taught, in spite of all he learned. And right here in Psalm 24, verse 19, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked." Verse 20 says, "For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." Did he know that right here? Did he forget it? Yes, he did. As you look through the Word of God, there are so many blessings that we have. Let me ask you this, just very quickly in closing. Turn back to Psalm 37. I want you to look at this very quickly. In Psalm 37, I want you to look at Psalm 37. Does God, through David, does God tell you how to keep from fretting yourself because of the wicked and the evildoers? He does. I want you to watch this. Look carefully at Psalm 37. I encourage every parent here to get your children to memorize, and you memorize, Psalm 37 verses 1 through 7 at least. Memorize Psalm 37, 1 through 7. I encourage every parent here to go home and you teach your children over and over. Spend every night this week looking at Psalm 37. It's extremely important to every one of us. Psalm 37, he begins by saying, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Come down in verses 3, 4, 5, and 7. He tells you how to keep from fretting. Does everybody hear what I just said? God tells you how to keep from fretting. He says in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Did you know if you'll do those four things? And listen, brethren, I believe it is a progression. I believe the first thing that you need to learn to do and the first thing you must do is trust in the Lord. That's the first thing. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord and do good. The second thing you need to do is delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. The third thing you must do as you build and progress is commit thy way unto the Lord. Did you know that if you trust in the Lord and if you delight yourself in the Lord, you will eventually be able to commit your way unto the Lord? Everything about your life you can commit to the Lord. When something that you have planned, everybody listen very carefully. If you plan to do something that you really look forward to, if you've got something planned and then something comes up and it all falls through, if you have committed your way to the Lord, do you know what you can feel? Complete peace and rest. Not upset at all. Why? Why, Brother Brooks?
You trust God.
Okay, you trust God. You delighted in the Lord. And if you've committed your way to the Lord, and the things that you have planned to do don't work out, and things don't go the way that you thought that they should, if you have committed your way unto the Lord, you can say, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away." Or you can say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had they trusted in the Lord? Did they delight themselves in the Lord? Did they commit their way unto the Lord? Did they know what the outcome was going to be when they stood? Did they know what the outcome was going to be? Heads are going both ways. Well, it depends on what you mean. Did they know? I'm going to ask you a different question. Had they committed their way unto the Lord? If I die, I die. If I go down in that burning fiery furnace and I die, God's going to deliver me in death. He's going to deliver me from your hand. Or if God delivers me out of that burning fiery furnace, don't know what God's going to do, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, and rest in the Lord. If you'll do those four things, you will not fret. You will not fret.
He's been so good to me.
Yes, he has. Listen, and I'll close this in Acts chapter 16. You remember when Paul and Silas, Paul and Silas were put in prison. You remember that? They were put in prison. You know what I would have done right then when they put me in prison? Brother Steve, me and you just got put in prison because we stood up for what's right. How are you going to feel? Say it again.
Down.
Give me a four-letter word that we've been studying all morning.
Fret.
I'd fret too. Probably. Okay, sometimes we fret. That's right. He's after you all the time. Now, when Paul and Silas were put in prison, they did not fret. Does everybody hear me? They did not fret. Not one ounce of fret was in them. Do you know why there was no fret in them? Because they had trusted in the Lord. They had delighted themselves in the Lord. They had committed their way unto the Lord. They were resting in the Lord. And when they were put in prison, it didn't matter to them if they died or if they lived. It was going to be all right. And they sat there in prison, and they prayed, and they sang praises to God, and they rejoiced in the Lord. You think that's what they would have chosen to do that day, was to be in prison? Absolutely not. But could they be content even in prison? Absolutely. Because they were doing what God would have them to do. Their faith and their confidence was in the God who is in control of everything that happens in our lives. May God help us to trust in the Lord. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.